This is the Good Day Health Program, and the health focus will be courtesy of Dr. Ken Kronhaus, who's here from his Lake Cardiology, his clinic in Florida that he's been running for 30 years, practicing medicine, basically working on your arteries and your heart, all the circulatory things that are important. He's become a preventive cardiologist, and with that, lots of great expertise. I'm happy to go visit with him soon, to have him go through my body from top to bottom. It always makes me feel good. And this is the advice to any of you, no matter where you live, always have a yearly checkup so that you can have the confidence in what your body's doing. What are you doing? What's the body doing? If you don't know, you'll wonder, create stress. If you know what's going on, then it's much better, Ken, right? No matter what is going on, it's better to know what's going on, isn't it?
Well, so much of this you can get ahead of, and if you treat it earlier, the outcomes are so much better. So don't be afraid of what you might learn.
Yeah. All right. So as a cardiologist, a lot of the things that you report on here, the studies that you do with all of the various journals of medicine, we do focus a lot on heart health. And as such, let's talk about vitamin D, which more and more, I take more and more of all the time. I just got a blood report back that you'll see. We'll probably do our own thing for you. But this still shows me to be lacking somewhat in vitamin D. And I don't understand, because I take lots of fish oil and the things where vitamin D is paramount. But I don't seem to, could it be that somebody's body uses more vitamin D? Do some bodies use more than others?
Well, it's several issues. You don't spend most of your life down in Florida getting enough sun.
And I'm glad of it on the farm in the summertime, for sure. I'm outside 8 hours a day.
Well,
in the summer.
Because vitamin D you get two ways. Your body makes it via sunlight stimulation, and you also eat it. And what I would recommend you do, Doug, is you take your vitamin D with food. It gets absorbed a lot better.
I do.
So you want to take it with a meal. But the news this week is out of PLOS-1 Medical Journal that high doses of vitamin D seem to keep arteries more flexible and pliable, potentially warding off future heart disease, heart attacks, and strokes. So everyone, talk to your doctor about measuring your own vitamin D level, and then ask your doctor for a personalized suggestion of what your own daily dose of vitamin D should be.
Well, but getting it, you talk about getting it from the sun, which is obvious. We all hear about sunshine vitamin D.
And don't overdo it. You know, about 10 to 15 minutes, three times a week of unprotected sunlight's a good idea.
But vitamin D comes from, among other sources, fish oil, does it not? Comes from fish as well as from the sun. And where else?
Source.
What are other sources? What are other sources of vitamin D?
It's enriched in a lot of the whole grains that we eat.
Mm-hmm. Because it comes from the sun. See, that's what I get, that it comes from things that are grown in the sun, but fish are not grown in the sun. In reality, they're not exposed to a lot of sun.
You're trying to be too logical about all this.
Okay,
it's
sorry.
There's just sources of it that are high in vitamin D concentration, and most of us do need some supplementation, and it should be individualized. So talk to your doctor about what your daily dose should be. Don't treat yourself.
When you say individualized, because you are cautious, you have urged me, you just did, as a matter of fact, again, to not take too much.
Well,
but it doesn't seem to be, I can catch up with what the need is. So how much for anybody is too much?
Well, again, you can't, this all needs to be individualized based on your own dose, and you should not be self-medicating yourself. Most people can go up to 2,000 units a day without causing any harm. There's a new study, and I hate to recommend this, that even 4,000 units, but the company line, if you will, is that you can take up to 2,000 units a day. But again, this should not be, you shouldn't pull your own teeth on this, because you'll guess wrong, and there's too much havoc awaiting you if you guess wrong. This is why you need to have a conversation with your physician about this, so the results can be individualized. Everybody's not the same. In fact, most people are different. What you need, the government recommends 600 to 800 units a day based on age, but for many people that's way not enough.
So you bring up something that is a very important underscore here to the conversation, and this discussion comes up a lot in general conversation, at least with me talking on the air and various other programs, about the body chemistry. All of us have different body chemistry. That's why there are I suppose, in a manner of speaking, all the warnings with the drug, because it could affect what that drug does chemically to your system, may be different than what it does to somebody else's system, because our chemistry is all different. You look at your blood work and see how the chemistry is different with you. Ken and I could have blood work done at the same time in the same place, and then we look at the results and they're very different, because we are, our bodies are very different, and we react to things that we put into our body in a different way, right?
Well, you spend a week with me, you won't see anyone with the same lab work. It looks so different from patient to patient.
Right. So that's why the chemistry here is different. That's why some can take more vitamin D, if you will, or more fish oil, whatever it is that you're taking, and not have the ramifications as some others might, because their body doesn't react to it, doesn't like it chemically.
Well, and they absorb it differently, and there's different sun stimulation. That's what it
Well, is. But that's the whole thing with prescriptions. That's why I wonder sometimes, when you prescribe something to someone, how do you really know that it's going to react appropriately in that person's body if you don't really thoroughly know the chemistry of one's body?
Well, they may have a history with that particular medication, and you try to understand it to the best of your ability. And then you try to understand the risk of them not taking it, and hopefully the risk of them not taking it outweighs the risk of taking it.
Mm-hmm. All right. But sometimes you find out the hard way. It's trial and error.
Well, that's why it's called practicing medicine.
Right. Yeah. I remember I have talked to you about this, and we've explained on the air how it is that, in my case, when I have this chronic cough and the bronchial condition and the things that are in my chest that come up every day, the yellow sputum that comes from your immune system working to try to protect your body, and then, you know, the sorts of things that I've been given to try to work this out are a result of the doctor not really knowing what's wrong. And so by a process of elimination using various drugs, that's the way they're going to find out what it is
me. It's like a detective doing a whodunit. You don't know who did it until you a process of elimination. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery detective novel. Each day, you know, we go through that with every patient. We try to come up with the diagnosis by doing good detective work.
Yep. All right. So while we're on this subject of vitamin D and fish oil, that sort of thing, it's a good time for me to promote the value of using this fabulous product that comes from the folks at Purity. The debate is over about whether it's good to have fish oil or it's good to have krill oil, because oils are good for us. We know that. Fish oil, especially because of what Ken was just talking about, has benefit for your heart, your circulatory system. I think I read somewhere that fish oil is great for your arteries, or is that vitamin K? There's something, Ken, that's really supposed to be good to keep your arteries good and flexible. Is that fish oil, or is it K, or is it both?
Well, we just talked about vitamin D keeping them nice and flexible, but getting fish oil from natural sources is a very good source.
All right. So anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the story of fish oil and krill oil together in Krill Omega 50 Plus from Purity. It has CoQ10 for energy. It has the krill oil to take care of your joints. Make sure that all the cushions in there are filled to capacity so you don't have brutal and horrible experiences when you're working your joints. And then the power of fish oil for your cardiovascular health. All things that your doctor likes. Listen to our conversations here with Ken. So the folks at Purity know you're going to love Krill Omega 50 Plus, and they know it will work for you. They know to the extent that they want to make sure you get it so you can have a free bottle of Krill Omega 50 Plus. Put it to the test. Call 800-355-1493. That's 800-355-1493. You pay a bit of shipping, and then the bottle, the product itself is free. They shouldn't pay for getting it to you, but you can get it that way. Get a free bottle and experiment and experience the benefits of this fish oil and krill oil combination. Free bottle now, 800-355-1493. One more time, Doug, 800-355-1493. All right, we keep working the list here of things that Ken has learned. Ken Kronhaus, Dr. Ken, here with me, Doug Steffen on Good Day Health, focusing on the reports from the various weekly journals. Here's one about the status of children who are passing when they're born because of risky decisions made by parents, especially mothers, right, Ken?
Well, exactly. This is news about sudden infant death, which had been going away and is unfortunately coming back via a report from the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, which comes out of the CDC each week. We learned that many parents still regularly risk their babies' lives as they put them to bed, Doug. Parents continue to practice unsafe habits that have been associated with sleep-related infant deaths. So 1 in 5 mothers says she places her baby to sleep on his or her side or stomach. 2 in 5 leave loose bedding and soft objects in the baby's sleep area, most often bumper pads and thick blankets. And 3 in 5 sometimes share their bed with their baby. Amazingly, these practices, they contribute to about 3,500 sleep-related deaths of U.S. babies every year.
You know, when I first saw this, I was thinking about something that we talked about on the air, risky behavior or risky decisions, and I was thinking of mothers smoking pot and the report that came out this past week about how that affects the baby, how, and more mothers apparently are doing it. The stats are way up on mothers pregnant with babies smoking pot. Could there be anything worse?
Well, it's being legalized recreationally in a few states, and people think it's okay, but please don't do this while you're pregnant. And
smoking anything, over drinking. I think, didn't we say that is it yes or no to drinking a glass of wine a day when you're pregnant?
Absolutely not.
No.
Even if you're thinking about getting pregnant, don't do it. And absolutely not. Just be very careful about any pill or potion, supplement, any chemicals that you're putting into your body when you're pregnant.
Meanwhile, speaking of things, we were talking about how silly it is for parents or mothers especially. But I didn't think secondhand smoke from a father would affect a baby in the womb. But here's another focus on what you're doing that you ought not to do and when it starts. I've often asked, wondering, I guess back to my high school days, Ken, you probably noticed this too. Girls especially trying cigarettes. And now the stats show how those who try stay at it, at least for a while, right?
Exactly. And this is only one cigarette. This comes out of the CDC this week, that at least 3 out of 5 people, Doug, who experiment with a single cigarette, one cigarette, end up becoming daily smokers at some point. So don't even try it.
Is there stuff that's being added that impacts now? Are there different things, one wonders, being added to get you hooked easier?
Well, this study didn't look at that. It just looked at the results, and you sure wonder, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, these people are incorrigible. They are horrible, what they do, and why anybody, I say this outwardly and openly, if you're working for a tobacco company, even though you may say, oh, it's a good job, you're nothing but death merchants. You're killing people, and it's intentional, and it's outrageous. All right, so having said that, Ken's not going to jump onto that bandwagon, so let's keep let's keep moving here.
I don't know if it's intentional. They want customers, but
well, of course it's intentional. Putting stuff on that hooks them, the scientists, they tell them what to put into it, the additives, so they get people hooked on it. Very intentional.
It's unfortunate, the whole thing. And just don't start. Don't become a customer. That's the easiest way to deal with it.
Next item has to do with how much sleep. This is almost a weekly thing. The benefits of having enough rest.
Exactly. This comes out of this week's Journal of Behavior Therapy and Experimental Psychiatry, that less than 8 hours of sleep increases the risk of anxiety and depression. So before you have to go through therapy, get on drugs for anxiety and or depression, just make sure you're clocking enough sleep. You know, you can't do it every night, but just try to the best of your ability. We usually say 7 to 8. In this study, they actually wanted 8. It's getting tougher.
All right, so if you're not getting enough rest, I would underscore how good it is, important it is to have a good mattress and a good pillow, and there's no better way to get great pillows than to go to mypillow.com, use the code DJV, and get one of their fabulous premium pillows at the regular price, second one free. You can do that between now and the end of the month at mypillow.com. That's get one free after you buy one, It's the 60-day money-back guarantee that also makes this company so valuable. Great American company, great American story. Great way for you to get a great night's rest, as Ken just suggested, so you don't get depressed. Order them now at MyPillow.com using the promo code DJV. Good day, health. I'm Doug Steffen with Dr. Ken Kronhaus here, continuing to focus on the news of the week, things that will be questioned. I'll find some questions that come in. You can send them along to me at Doug@DougSteffen.com, or you can send them on Twitter at Doug Steffen. Dr. Ken runs Lake Cardiology down in Mondura, Florida. What a great place to go to get peace of mind if you're in need of getting a second opinion on something that you've been told. You should go visit Ken at Lake Cardiology. Here's as we continue, I just get such a kick out of people and how they think about, well, just never mind how they, just how people think. So Ken has read from one of the journals, the medical journals, how to ease your stress by smelling your partner's T-shirt. Who in the hell ever thought of this in the first place? Who decided to study this?
Well, this is published this week in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology.
Of course it is. Yes, right. Yeah.
And this is new research that the scent of a romantic partner can help ease stress, particularly, Doug, when couples are temporarily separated or away from home. So the reason why this came up was to try to explain behavior. And the behavior is that many people wear their partner's shirt or sleep on their partner's side of the bed when their partner is away, but may not realize why they engage in these behaviors. Well, it appears that a partner's scent alone, Doug, even without their physical presence, can be a powerful tool to help reduce stress.
So how personal does this get?
It gets pretty personal. You need to have something where your significant scent is on, and just before they go or while they're, as soon as they leave, you may want to take a good big whiff of it, and it'll just lower your stress level.
A
if,
big
if
deep
your stress
whiff
level is up.
Of what? What do we? What do we smell? Is it? It's not the material, is a combination chemically of what your body is producing.
It's the odor of your significant.
So what I understand is that sometimes women especially are turned on by men's body odor. Is that true?
It works both ways.
Like men's body odor, men like women's body odor.
There are chemicals produced in our body odor that attracts the opposite sex.
Are those the pheromones that you hear often about?
That's exactly right. But this may be part of that, but it may be something even bigger. And you know, they haven't taken it to the next level to really understand the biochemistry of it, but it's there. I bet it has to do somewhat with the pheromones, but it may be other substances. But, you know, you pick up your whatever clothes you are. I've known children of parents who they've lost a parent, and the children just feel so much better when they have the parents' clothing around them, and they feel like they're near their parent and they can smell their parent. Mm-hmm. I've heard kids describe that to me.
Yeah, well, I'd be surprised. Okay, let's talk a little bit important to listeners in the climes where it's cold, and it has modified somewhat this week, but the cold weather will continue. We're only in the beginning of January, for heaven's sake, so you can be sure that the cold, especially if you believe some of the long-range forecasts for the next couple of months, the jet stream is so powerful, flying back and forth across the country as I'm having to for the next month or so. You hit good and bad. When you're going in an easterly direction, it increased the speed of the plane by enough to cut 40 minutes off the flight. And that jet stream is bringing this horribly cold air from what they called it last year, the Polar Express or something like that. But it's coming across from the poles and down into Canada and down into our country, and then being pushed across the country in such a way as it catches people off guard, I think, don't you, in terms of how they protect themselves? And that's why, as I look at some of these things, the postings of what people are supposed to be doing with the cold, and how they, you know, whether it's bundling. You just asked me off the air what I was wearing when I go across the country. What do I wear?
I did. I was just curious because you travel from a warm climate to a very cold climate. And when you do that, I was just wondering how you prepare for that.
Yeah. Well, I prepare for it by wearing Eastern the clothes I get on the plane with, coming back out here, corduroys, a sweater, that sort of thing, long socks. And that's for two reasons. One, because I want to have I want to be warm, but I also think it's good to wear high socks. The pressure on the veins in your leg. Why is that anyway? Why is it tougher on your legs and more people have incidents on the plane?
Well, that's another issue about traveling, wearing compression stockings. And that's getting much more and more popular because as you're sitting, especially on an extended flight, the blood pools in the ankles from the gravity. And that's why each hour you want to get up and walk the flight up and back. But especially if you're prone to not the best circulation in the legs, you want to wear those compression stockings throughout the flight to avoid getting a blood clot.
All right. So here's the story of Hugh Grant. I wanted to talk about this because I think it sort of is representative of what a lot of us think about what happens to our desire and our abilities as we get older. Hugh Grant is 57. His girlfriend is a Swedish television producer named Anna Eberstein. They were photographed in New York the other day. She's sporting a large baby bump. Grant's fifth child, the third with her. And people saying 57? Well, I don't think it makes a difference to men as much as it does to women in the age department. If you're able to produce good sperm, then you produce good children, right?
I don't even know why that's a headline if he wasn't a star.
Well, I mean, he probably wouldn't be. Yeah, the fact that he's going to be a dad again, yeah.
Being a dad at 57 is not even, you know, that doesn't even get on my radar screen.
No, if he were 97... it might get on your radar screen.
That might
though,
be a, right? a newsworthy headline.
Yeah, that's.
But
that's
I think
what
it's
I'm...
more the fact, you know, it's Hugh Grant than his age, and plus
yeah.
his age.
Well, some of the things that he went through, as
yes.
you know, he's had.
He's a colorful guy.
Yeah, well, I think he's a good actor, but he's learned a lot in life, as all of us
and,
do
you know,
with our experiences.
He takes a good picture, so you know, it's good to have him
right.
on your front cover.
So the suggestion here, with regard to that sort of discussion. Brings us around to understanding what ED is, erectile dysfunction. And some people don't want to hear it discussed. Some people don't want to have a conversation about it. But it is something that affects men. And there's a product called Sildenafil, which apparently is the active ingredient in Viagra. What do we know about that? Have you ever done any? This is a lot of your patients probably ask you for Viagra or something that's like it because... They're not able to have arousal. They're not able to have sex.
Absolutely.
That way.
You know, I'm a circulatory specialist, a cardiologist from head to toe circulation, and erectile dysfunction for most guys is a circulatory problem. Yeah. And in fact, the recommendation now is for guys who have erectile dysfunction, they need to get their heart checked out because the same process occurring below the waist is occurring possibly in the chest. So erectile dysfunction, the drug Sildenafil, Viagra, was actually being tested as an angina drug, a drug for the heart to relieve discomforts because they thought it would increase blood flow to the heart. They did the studies and found out it didn't help the heart. But guess what? An unexpected consequence was that guys were getting better erections. And that's how Sildenafil Viagra was discovered, unexpectedly.
All right. So the information here, coupled with the fact that it's so expensive to buy Viagra, you may be interested to know that there is a North Carolina pharmacy that's delivering generic Sildenafil, and you can get more information about it by calling 800-601-0310. That's 800-601-0310. The company's called Marley Generics, 800-601-0310. Ken, I saw something about how good salads are for brain health. And our overall immune system, spinach, lettuce, kale, collard greens, that sort of thing. Is that because of vitamins? What are the nutrients that are in leafy green vegetables? And is this something, you know, we talk a lot about ripened fruits and vegetables and how you're supposed to have, what, 9 servings of whatever it is a day. So these vegetables, the green vegetables, we always think broccoli and peas and whatever else is green. This is good for your brain, supposedly. Why would that be?
Exactly. Well, you know, an apple a day is supposed to keep the doctor away, but right. You know, if you're a neurologist, you want to eat salad. Keep the neurologist away.
A salad a day keeps the neurologist away. I have to remember that one. Write that down, folks.
Anyway, exactly. And this was published recently in the journal Neurology, that the nutrients that are found in leafy greens actually improve the ability of older adults to think and remember. And it is what it is. And there's just so many good phytochemicals in vegetables, and you just want to get as much as you can, and it'll help your body function better from head to toe.
So that really underscores the need.
Very little calories.
Yeah, well, if you're doing things, I have this product we talk about on the air all the time, Balance of Nature, providing these whole ripened fruits that they dry and powder. 11 of them are in the fruit capsules, and I think 9 of them, 9 different vegetables, are in the veggie capsule. And you take those every day, one in the morning of each and one in the evening of each, and you improve your immune system, because that's what fruits and vegetables do, right? The fruits and veggies that you would rather, Ken would rather see you eat them, eat the real thing. But who do you know that has 9 veggies and fruits a day? I don't know anybody who does, and I try to. I get close to it, but I'm betting you don't, and most people who are your patients don't.
I can't name too many.
No, of course not. So that's why this is a good product to help boost your immune system this time of year, especially the folks that the Balance of Nature company have come up with these, and there are some fabulous testimonies you can see at their website, balanceofnature.com. Plus, if you want to get some coaching from people who understand health and what your needs are, they have a free health coach, too, when you call them at 800-246-8751, or you can make connection to the health coach by going to balanceofnature.com. Balanceofnature.com. Use the promo code DJV for a special discount on these products. Matter of fact, the first month's supply is provided to you free when you use the DJV code. So enhance your immune system. Go to balanceofnature.com. Let's get to, because Ken is a cardiologist, I always like to spend time on some of the things that are indicators. Ken, as you know, if you listen with any degree of regularity, takes a lot of information that comes from all of these weekly guides, the information from the health markers, all of the journals that publish results of research. So here's one that I find very intriguing. If you've got a lousy credit score, you could have problems with your heart. How does that correlate?
This comes out of the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences this week, Doug, that imagine another strong, surprising predictor of illness. It's your financial health. There's a strong connection between a low credit score and a poor heart health. People who do not manage their financial health well do not manage their physical health either. Conversely, people with higher credit scores have healthier hearts.
Well, that's kind of a duh in a way, isn't it? Because of
not
stress.
Really.
If you're not worried about money, then there's that stress on you.
Well, I think it's more that you just in general are responsible. You're doing the right things.
Really? So you think it's a, if I hear you correctly, it's a, the connection is to how you look at these things or any problem. You look at taking care of yourself, and that includes taking care of your health, taking care of your credit, taking care of your family. It's taking care. If you're careful about yourself, then you won't have problems with your heart.
Okay. Exactly. Just like you're paying attention to all the details of making sure all your payments are up to date, you're paying attention to making sure your health lifestyle is up to date. And yes, having less stress is important with regards to the financial issues, but I think it's even more the entire package.
Mm-hmm. There's an interesting thread in the TV show Ballers. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, with Dwayne Johnson as the main character. And one of the things, the themes, the sort of sub-themes, is his fertility and whether or not he has fertility problems. and whether it can be corrected or reversed or whatever it is. So I noticed that there's an interesting overview here about ibuprofen use and what that does to the swimmers.
Exactly, Doug. And you're right on the mark, because these scientists were stimulated to do this study because there is a growing infertility problem in the country. And this was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences this week, looking for whether ibuprofen is this common painkiller is the cause. This is a common brand that includes Advil and Motrin and has been linked with a condition affecting male fertility problems. Ibuprofen is already known to increase the risk of heart attacks and strokes, Doug, if it's taken regularly in high doses for a long time. Ibuprofen has also already been linked with fertility problems in women taking the drug. Ibuprofen, it appears to affect the pituitary gland in the brain that's involved in production of the male hormone testosterone, as well as other processes linked to sperm production.
So what's the difference between having a fertility problem and having erectile dysfunction?
Well, erectile dysfunction is usually a circulatory problem. Mm-hmm. The plumbing to the male genital is not working properly. That's the usual problem. Whereas producing sperm is another issue.
All right. So there's two different, it's two very different problems.
Exactly.
But they both have the same consequence, and that is that you're not going to be able to have your partner get pregnant.
You got to get it all working properly to get her pregnant, but one is the vehicle to get it there, and the other is the production of the material.
All right. I like the way you put that. That makes good sense, in fact.